Hello friends, thanks for being here. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I hope this video finds you healthy and secure. If not, let's work together to change that. Excuse me. Why does that always happen when I begin recording? Let's see if I can lubricate the old tongue and throat. All right. So, what we have now is reply to Lay Nun Myoho. Evidently, there were several women in Nichiren's now vast collection of students across Japan with the name Myoho. This Myoho is a nun who's identified as being the same Myoho who received a letter entitled, and you may recall this, the One Essential Phrase, the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra, right? So at this point, Myoho is a little bit elderly. By that I mean from previous communications she's had, her daughters have all married off and gone to different relatives, and her husband, who passed away several years earlier, again I apologize, allergies, Nichiren reminds her and wants to strengthen her. She has demonstrated incredible resolve as a woman of that age, of that day, I mean. She's been through a heck of a lot in her lifetime as a woman, as a widow, and now whose family has left her, and anyone in her surroundings generally dislike her simply because she's such an avid proponent of Nichiren's doctrines of the Lotus Sutra. And as you know, the Nembutsu think the Lotus Sutra is some childish theory, and they've, you know, totally besmirched, if you will, the reputation of the Lotus. So not only the Lotus Sutra, but the hero of the Lotus Sutra and Shakyamuni's teachings of the day, Nichiren, is a real thorn in the side to the government, and therefore there's a lot of propaganda out there amongst many of the people in her village and around her. So she's been oppressed as a woman, she's been oppressed as a Buddhist, she's been oppressed as a Buddhist woman following Nichiren, so... And she's lost all of her family, so she's basically alone. Yet she continues to send offerings to Nichiren for the benefit of propagating the Lotus Sutra. And so Nichiren writes this missive. And so let's get right into it. I've received your gift of a light summer robe. You have been left behind by your deceased husband in a woman's situation and are separated from your relatives too. You hear nothing from your one or two daughters, who are not to be relied on. Moreover, you are a woman who is hated by others because of this teaching. You are just like Bodhisattva Never Disparaging, which is one of the chapters in the Lotus Sutra, you'll recall. The Buddha's aunt, or aunt, depending on where you're from, the nun Mahaprajapati was a woman. Nevertheless, she became an arhat, gained a name as a voice hearer, and entered a path by which Buddhahood can never be attained. This is not to disparage the Buddha's aunt, but merely to point out that at that time in India, women were quite literally chattel, and for them to practice Buddhism, which at that time, the early teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, Hinayana Buddhism, the pinnacle of Hinayana Buddhism was to become an arhat. So she was quite accomplished in her Buddhist practice and the precepts and all of that at that time. But being a woman, even at the pinnacle of Hinayana teachings, or even early Mahayana teachings, which actually go beyond arhat, she would not be considered able to attain Buddhahood, right? In all the provisional teachings, provisional Mahayana and later Mahayana included, women could not attain Buddhahood. It wasn't until the Lotus Sutra, where Shakyamuni talked about his own enlightenment and the one method to awaken the Buddha mind, did he specifically call out women, the Dragon King's daughter, so on and so forth, and this woman, Mahaprajapati, I don't know why I stumbled over that name, would become Buddhas. Changing her appearance as a woman, she abandoned her status as royal consort and began to honor the exhortations of the Buddha. For more than 40 years, she upheld the 500 precepts. At that time, there were a lot of precepts. By day, she stood by the roadside begging for alms, and by night, she sat beneath a tree meditating for her next life. And yet, she was denied the path that leads to Buddhahood and was spoken of widely as one who was forever incapable of becoming a Buddha. How mortifying these things must have been, given her resolve and her dedication, right? Following her nephew around, only trying to be a devoted, resolved adherent, right? Because she was a woman, from inconceivably distant kalpas in the past, people had spread false rumors about her, mixing fact with fiction. How embarrassing and vexing it must have been. When, loathing that body, she dressed herself humbly and became a nun, she thought that she could free herself from such sorrows. Even denied her own femininity, right? Upon learning that, on the contrary, having become a person of the two vehicles, learning and realization, she was never to attain Buddhahood. How wretched she must have felt. By means of the Lotus Sutra, however, she was absolved from the wrath of the Buddhas of the three existences and was able to become a Buddha called gladly seen by all living beings. How happy, how joyful she must have been to hear this latter teaching, right? Thus, if it is not for the sake of the Lotus Sutra, no matter what may occur, one should never turn one's back. The Buddha, in a loud voice, addressed all four kinds of believers, saying, quote, "Who is capable of broadly preaching the Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law in this Saha world?" End quote. When they responded with the thought, "I am, I am," the Buddha admonished the nuns and the lay women as many as three times, saying that if they desired to repay their debt to all the Buddhas, they should persevere through any difficulty to spread the Lotus Sutra in this Saha world after his passing. So, ladies, this is the Buddha's exhortation to you to pursue the Bodhisattva way. But their failing to take his advice and saying that they wanted, quote, "to go to lands in other regions and broadly propagate this sutra," end quote, shows that these were nuns who totally misunderstood the truth. That is why the Buddha turned aside and looked earnestly at the 800,000 million Nayutas of Bodhisattvas. "I had therefore thought, though women would tarnish their names and throw away their lives on meaningless paths, they were weak at following the path to Buddhahood. But now you, born a woman in the evil world of the latter age, while being reviled, struck, and persecuted by the barbaric inhabitants of this island country who are unaware of these things, have endured and are propagating the Lotus Sutra. The Buddha at Eagle Peak surely perceives that you surpass the nun Mahaprajapati as greatly as clouds do mud. The name of that nun, the Buddha gladly seen by all living beings, is no unrelated matter. It is now the name of the lay nun Myoho. One who becomes a king is reputed to be a person who in both the past and the present has observed the 10 good precepts. Although the names of the kings may change, there is only one lion throne. This name, likewise, will never change. Even that nun who went against the Buddha's words received the name Buddha gladly seen by all living beings. You are a lay nun who, being true to the Buddha's words, has lost her good name only in this Saha world and is giving her life for the Lotus Sutra. The Buddha did not abandon the nun, his foster mother. If he were to abandon you as one who is unrelated to him, he would be a biased Buddha. But how could such a thing ever be? And how much less so if, as the sutra states, quote, the living beings in it, the threefold world, are all my children, end quote. Then you are the Buddha's daughter, and that nun was his foster mother. Is it possible that the Buddha, who did not abandon his foster mother, would wish to abandon his own daughter? Please understand the truth of this thoroughly. I have gone on too long, so I will stop here, Nichiren. So, it's quite a reassurance. Nichiren is basically equating this woman's resolve in the Lotus Sutra and her bodhisattva activities, practice, as equal to the Buddha's, Shakyamuni Buddha's own foster mother, conferring upon her, Myoho, the same title of Buddha gladly seen by everyone. How reassuring. How exciting to know that there is no limit to your enlightenment, to your awakening. A lesson for all of us to understand that when we awaken our Buddha, it is absolutely unlimited, unconditional, distinctive. As I've said before, there are no distinctions in the Buddha mind. It is all pure perception, excitement, thrilling awe of the process of life. No judgments, no qualifications, just life is so astounding. Why should a woman experience that any less than a man? The distinction of man-woman is a samsaric contrivance. Please, ladies, you must know this. All of you to this day, and I'm speaking directly to you, girls, whatever your age, inculcated into thousands of years of societal development, religions, politics, though you ladies have the unimaginable responsibility and ability to spawn a new karmic extension of humanity and procreate the species, somehow the largely intimidated matriarchy, or patriarchy, sorry, has seen fit to societally suppress your value in order to lift their own. And with physicality, demand a higher position in society. If there's any kind of identification politic to understand samsara in its incredibly inculcated attachments and the fallacies of those attachments, ladies, you need look no further. In Buddhahood, there are no such distinctions, not even of man-woman. We simply are an instantiation of the life process, not male life and female life, life. That's amazing even to just ponder and consider. Take this issue to your mandala. Chant to experience that undefined life, that life of complete equanimity, complete enlightenment. Be your Buddha-ness. Be your Buddha vision, self. These words, they fall apart because they're all distinctions. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I'm so proud of all of you. As simple as it sounds to chase after this awakening, it is so profound, so massive, a scope of understanding, and yet such a simple thing. It keeps us studying and practicing, does it not? And for that, I thank you profoundly from the depth of my understanding. I wish you good health, kindness, and of course, Myoho Renge Kyo. Don't forget to download the podcast as an oral file wherever you get your podcasts, if that works for you. Otherwise, I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel, and it won't cost you a cent? Yep. If you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching. But you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot. But if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.